All right, welcome back. Welcome back. You all have a nice smoke. It's snowing outside. We're in here warm. It doesn't get much better than this, does it? This rocks. It really does rock. It really does. I left off on page 25, and I just read the first paragraph where it says there is a solution. Almost none of us like the self-searching. When you self-search, you're doing steps 4 through 10. The leveling of pride, when you admit you're powerless over something, that's step 1. The confession, step 5 of shortcomings, which is 6 and 7, which the process requires for its successful consummation. So if you have not done that process and you have not had a successful consummation, you have not failed because you have not done the process. Make sense? All right. Let's go down three lines from where we just left off on page 25, first paragraph. And it says, when therefore we were approached by those in whom the problem has been solved, circle solved. I don't make this up. I swear to God, I don't make this up. If you solve something, that's pretty big, isn't it? There was nothing left but to pick up the simple kit of spiritual tools laid at our feet, which are the 12 steps. We have found much of heaven and have been rocketed into the fourth dimension of existence, which is my experience. We have three-dimensional objects as I look at you all, and then we have the fourth dimension, which is the spiritual dimension. Right? Now, let's look at this. So, Douglas, recovered, cured. Let's look at what the difference is between the two. Ready? Recovered. So you have the symptoms, if I'm spelling this wrong, sorry. And then you have the disease. And then you have the symptoms of cured. And then you have the disease. Got it? Now, recovered and cured. What's the difference? When you're recovered, you have symptoms and you have a disease, correct? That's what they said. American Medical Association said this. So, the symptoms, when you come in and you work the steps and stop drinking and help others, the symptoms of alcohol are gone. What happens if you drink? Just add alcohol. Baby, we're off to the races, right? The disease comes back. It kicks in. It comes in, kicks in with a vengeance. For those people, is anyone here relapsed? You relapsed? Does it get better?
Oh, no.
No, okay. Right. You know what I used to think? I think I had 2 years sobriety. I called my sponsor and said, listen, this is what we're going to do. I have no idea what these people are feeling. I have no sympathy for them. I'm going to need to drink. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to relapse, and I'll be a better sponsor. And he says, He goes, I really want you to say that slow. And I said, oh, that doesn't sound good, does it? Would I have to pick up a white chip ego? Right? Okay, I don't understand that. I will believe you when you tell me it is the biggest nightmare that I would ever experience if I went back out after 13 years. Okay? Cured. My mother had breast cancer. She had the symptoms of breast cancer, and she had the disease of cancer, correct? They went in, they removed what they had to remove, the symptoms were gone, and the disease was gone. Okay? Do you see the difference between recovered and cured? It's a big difference, isn't there? All right, so what I want you to do is I want you to turn to page 30, chapter 3, more about alcoholism. More about alcoholism. This is the chapter that's going to tell you what happens before the first drink. And I bet you all can understand this one. All right? Now, what I want you to do is I want you to go, one, the second paragraph. On the second paragraph, what I would like you to do is put a box in big letters. Step 1. This is where the first step is. How many people have been searching through the big? Where's the first step? It doesn't ever say first step. Where's the second step? It doesn't say second. This is it. This is the writings between Bill and Dr. Bob, and this is what they meant. And they were very clear about this. It states this. We, the first 100, learned that we had to fully concede to our innermost selves that we were alcoholics. Now, I have the honor of talking to a few people here that have a question mark, think, on over their head. You know, they have not fully conceded to their innermost selves. They probably won't raise their hand, and we're not going to ask them to do that. It's fine. Seriously. But you have to fully concede to your innermost selves that you are alcoholic. This is the first step in recovery. The delusion. Does everybody understand what delusional is? I was delusional. I was totally delusional. How could I have all this stuff? How could I be all this stuff, right? And be an alcoholic. I mean, well, let's take a look at this. You know, the phone's off the hook. The door's locked. You stopped going out. You know, you turned the doorknob inside out on my two kids at 1 and 2 so I wouldn't hurt them. You know, the stuff that I did, I've totally made amends to, but the stuff that I did is absolutely terrible, horrifying. Okay? So the delusion that we are like other people or presently maybe, and I need you to circle this, has to be circle smashed. Smashed. Why not broke? Broke you could fix. Smash is smashed. Got it? So if you're sitting here today and you're thinking about this, all right, and you don't fully concede to your innermost self that you are an alcoholic, okay, that's okay. That's okay. Let's just keep going through. Just keep going through. It was like me. I'll show you when I got to step 2 and step 3. I'm atheist. Hello? Atheist. You know, and you know how many other sponsors would have said, just stay on step 3. And I'm like looking for burning bushes under the table. I'm looking for burning, but I'm walking through, I'm sitting on mountains. I went to Miami Beach by myself. And I mean, I was trying everything. Couldn't find this God. And when I got a sponsor who knew the steps, he knew, having had a spiritual awakening as the singular result of these steps, dude, he's like, you're only on 2. Relax. Wait till you get to 12. If you don't get it, then you're screwed. I'd be like... But he says, I've never seen anyone fail who has thoroughly followed the path. Okay? So let's just keep moving forward. Good? So that's step 1. Do all the people in here, and you don't have to raise your hand if you don't, just think about this. Do you believe to your innermost selves that you're an alcoholic? That's all I ask. After everything I just read to you, do you believe that? That's what I want you to take a moment and pause. We're pausing for effect. Okay? Step 1. Got it? It says here, the next paragraph, we alcoholics are men and women who have lost the ability to control our drinking. We know that no real alcoholic ever, squiggly lines, or italicized as you writers understand how that works. Okay? It recovers control. I want you to go 5 lines down from there. It says on page 30 in that paragraph, it says, we are convinced, we, the first 100 people, were convinced that to a man of alcoholic of our type are in the grips of a progressive illness. I'm telling you now, if you're getting blackouts, if you are getting DUIs, if you're getting all that stuff, okay, maybe you're not an alcoholic. Continue on, young lady or young man. Continue on. It's going to get worse. Never, ever, ever better. I never saw my sister's blackout. Ever. Never seen my wife blackout. Never seen all the normal people. And if they did blackout, they're like this. I remember, man, graduation, 1978. I'm like, are you kidding me? You remember your blackout? Oh, yeah. See, dude, I blacked out all the time. But I wasn't an everyday drinker because I hurt so bad the next day. Right? I was an every other day drinker. But give me a couple more years, I would have been an everyday drinker. You know, okay. I wasn't under the bridge. I was in a huge house, right, on Amelia Island. I mean, you ain't getting much better than that, right? So it doesn't matter if you're under the bridge at all, okay? So I want you to turn to the next page. I'm sorry, page 33. Page 33, first paragraph. If you go down, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, to 6 sentences down on the first paragraph, page 33, says, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Commencing to drink after a period of sobriety, we are in a short time as bad as ever. Is that true for you relapsers? Is that true? I'm seeing a lot of head shaking. Yeah. So it gets worse? So what would happen if I was to start drinking today? 13 years, we're just going, right? 26, 28, it would all come back. I believe you. I won't try it. Okay? Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Commencing to drink after a period of sobriety, we are in a short time as bad as ever. If we are planning to stop drinking, there must be no reservation. If you have any reservation right now, folks, please understand this. Less than average. You got less than average. Okay? There must be no reservation of any lurking of any kind, nor any lurking notion that someday you will be immune to drinking. Know it now. Believe it now. You will never be able to grow that leg back if you lost it. All right? Got it? Now, I have on page 33, on the second paragraph, about halfway down the third paragraph, excuse me, page 33, third paragraph. To be gravely affected, one does not necessarily have to drink a long time, nor take the quantity some of us do. I had a gentleman come up to me after, and he was telling me he wasn't an everyday drinker, and neither was I. I guess I'm giving off this aura. People are like, he looked at me like, really? I thought you were, you know, like Bowery. You know, maybe. You never know. But I did sleep on the streets in Cleveland, Key West, New York. Probably a few other places. Like, I just couldn't find the hotel, so I just pulled up a bush. I gotta go fly. Oh, where? Here we go. Spark them up. Got a lot of sleep up front. Did I say that out loud? All right. Page 34. We even have diagnoses here in Alcoholics Anonymous. Are you ready? Page 34, first paragraph, third line. If anyone questions whether he hasn't entered this dangerous area, let him try leaving liquor alone for 1 year. If he is a real alcoholic, yeah, right, 1 year. Snowball's chance in hell. Has anyone heard that one? Leave it alone for 1 year. I tell you, I did 90 days. I did 90 days with that little trinket, green chip thing, door prize. And, boy, I tell you what, I was going out. I was thirsty. Woo! All right? Now, it also says on page 34, the second paragraph, second paragraph, three lines down, 34, it says, whether such a person can quit upon a non-spiritual basis. That means like taking those little pills and being able to drink two drinks, whatever. It says, whether such a person can quit on a non-spiritual basis depends upon the extent of which he has already lost the power of choice, whether to drink or not. I had no choice. If I had a choice, I would not be here. I would not be here if I had a choice, right? We just wouldn't drink. Now, you New Jersey and New York people might find it enjoyable up here in Vermont in February. 14 degrees, and it's very beautiful outside, but I would not be here, folks. I would not be here. I'd be on the beach with my wife. We'd be hanging out. I'd be drinking virgin pina coladas. So I just would say, I don't want to drink, right? But I don't have that choice, do we? I don't have that choice. So whether you can stop without working the steps, which the steps gives you the spiritual basis we're talking about, depends on how bad your brains have been altered. And if you can't stop drinking, you're blacking out. I've never seen a non-alcoholic not blackout. Now, I haven't experienced that. And I know a lot of non-alcoholics. They just look at you like, I was like, so you never plan to maybe drink milk and then have a couple and then go there? And they're looking at you. You did what? You wonder how sick I was? On my fourth DUI, I figured out what I was going to do. I said, I got it. I know how I'm going to fix this. So I stopped driving and moved to Hoboken. I'm based in Washington. I took a hostage in Hoboken. All right? I'd have the cab driver drive me to the airport. They would fight over who's going to pick up the pilot in Newark Airport, drive back to Hoboken. They'd all have my bottle waiting for me, full uniform. Wah! Tip them like $50, fat, you know what I mean? Drive me off the bar. What about your uniform here? Where the heck? Come out of here. I mean, it was just sick. And, you know, and I remember when I told my wife that for the first time, she looked at me like, are you joking? No, doesn't that make sense to you? Like, all you're like, yeah, it makes sense to me. Yeah. She's like, holy, what did I marry? All right. Now, on page 37, we have the third paragraph. It says, some circumstances we have gone out deliberately to get drunk, feeling ourselves justified by nervousness, anger, worry, depression, jealousy. Anybody in here never worked the steps and feel that? I felt that for 90 days. All that is called is dry drunk. Some people walked around, Michael, I think it was you, 5 years like that? 4 years. Stud. Hercules in my book. I went 90 days. I said, I'm out. Is this all there is? Yeah. That's it. You know, step one, admit your prowess over alcohol. Now go kick the dog and kick the cat and kick everybody. Oh, my God. I had one guy, my architect, right? Who built, who refurbished my train station in Charlottesville, Virginia. Just didn't drink. 10 years. 10 years. So he watched me go through this ungodly project. Board of Architecture Review Boards. I mean, ungodly. And I was just like this, you know, with a little spike every once in a while. And then he came and he heard me speak. And I brought him through the steps. And he, after a year, his wife came up to me when we were celebrating our one-year anniversary in at the restaurant. She was crying. She said, thank you for the new husband. His whole life changed. Whole life changed. He didn't know what living was. 10 years he didn't drink. Stud. Stud. I'm telling you. Okay, turn to page 39. Here we go. This is powerless, folks. Page 39, first paragraph, powerless. That may be true for some certain non-alcoholic people who, though drinking foolishly and heavily at the present time, are able to stop or moderate. I could not stop or moderate. I'm not a hard drinker. I am the real deal. It says, because their brains and bodies have not been damaged as ours were. But the actual potential alcoholic, with hardly an exception, will be, and here's squiggly lines, absolutely unable to stop on the basis of self-knowledge. I know people who could open up their own rehab. They've been to 20 of them. Oh, that's not going to burn this time. Oh, that's not going to burn this time. Oh, 20 times they're putting their hand on the stove. How about if we do this? Let's we'll go out on a limb here. Let's work the steps, right? Let's go to meetings, sponsor others, and then not drink. See how that works. Give me the money, all right? You know what I learned on that $250,000 rehab? Thank you to the airlines, where your dollars are going. You're paying for my seat, baby. All right? I learned to get a sponsor. That's what I learned. I learned to get a sponsor. And I just happened to run into a sponsor from Hoboken, New Jersey. He was just like you all sitting here. All right? He was a Big Book Thumper Deluxe, and he thumped me. All right, it says, this point we wish to emphasize and reemphasize to smash home upon the alcoholic readers as it has been revealed to us out of bitter experience. Self-knowledge won't work. Just reading the Big Book, reading it. You know when I was the best pilot? When I was an instructor pilot. When I was an instructor pilot, I was the best. You know when I was the worst? Captain. We ready? Ugh. Yeah, waking up. We ready for this? You know, the joke used to be, let's try to land without Captain waking up. Drool coming out of my mouth. I had one first officer. We'd climb through 1,500 feet. I'd be like, all right, I'm off. You know, I was reading the paper and stuff. And finally, I did it after like the fourth day. He goes, Captain, just tell me when you're on. You know, that's all I wanted to know, when you're on. All right, so it says here... Let's turn to page 42. Last paragraph, page 42. Check this out. I got 3 stars next to this. It must be pretty important. Last paragraph. Quite as important was the discovery that spiritual principles would solve all my problems. Not just my alcoholic problems, all my problems. Spiritual principles. Now, my lovely bride in the back, when I met her, we went on our first date, didn't even look at me, wouldn't even look at me. As you can see up here, people say I got a radio face, but anyway, wouldn't even look at me. So she was that shy. And all she wanted to do was be in a room with computers and not deal with anybody. So I invented this company, and she invented the software, and I put her into this big room, no windows. It sounded like you walked into the simulators, you know. I mean, all these big computers and stuff, and she's working on it. It was dark, and she loved it. And then she started meeting you all. And finally, she started going to meetings. And then we started hanging out inseparable at these meetings. And finally, my sponsor says, she's not one of us. She's got to move on to her own program. And she moved on to the other program of Al-Anon, and now she is the vice president of customer service on 17,000 clients that we have. She has a yellow office, and she's got most windows in all the building. So what we're saying here is that this will solve all our problems, okay? This will solve all our problems. I did 12 steps on my smoking, and I stopped smoking, I don't know, 10 years ago or so. So it works. It really does. So what I'd like you to do also, it says on page 43 at the last page, paragraph, once more, the alcoholic in certain times has no effective mental defense against the first drink. It's the first drink. What happens when you have the first drink? Kicks in, right? Against the first drink. It's, it says, except in a few rare cases, neither any other human being can provide such a defense. His defense must come from a higher power. My wife and I get married before asking my mom and papa's permission. No, in Italy. She flies me out there, and I'm meeting my in-laws for the first time. Father is an internationally known brain surgeon. Feeling a little insecure, maybe I am. Brother, studly Italian, doctorate in architecture. Here comes slouch. American, right? Hey, what's going on? How y'all doing? Everybody's at the table. Wine everywhere. Everyone's talking and talking. No one speaks English. I don't speak Italian. This is great. So they're all talking. Hands are flying all over the place. And they go to pour me. They go to pour me wine, and I go like this. Silence. Internationally known brain surgeon, doctorate of architecture, stud. Just like. So now I think I just started a war, because I have no idea about their culture. And I look at her and I said, did you tell your parents that I'm an alcoholic? No, it's none of their business, none of my business. I said, oh my God. I'm hyperventilating. I'll be right back. I'm on my cell phone. I'm calling this sponsor and this guy and this. No one's home. Y'all sleeping. So I'm pacing. So I got a red book that I keep with me, a blue book, a little big book. And I read that. And I knew exactly what I had to do in that point in time. There was no one that was going to stop me from drinking. She wasn't going to do it. There was no human power. I had to go to God. I grabbed her. I said, we got to go in the back of the room. We prayed and meditated. We talked about it. I said, okay, let's go. You're going to translate. You ready? She says, what? I said, you're going to translate. Tell them that I'm an alcoholic. So she did. And they kind of looked at me, and they weren't sure what that meant. So her brother says to me, or her, says, what happens if he drinks? And I said, tell him I die. They have never offered me a drink since, and the talking went on. That was it. I had to go to God, folks. We got to stop relying on mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and wives and children. They do not help us stop drinking. It will never, ever, ever work. Go to God. How do you go to God? Through the steps. Get the power from the steps. Find your own God, and then it's all going to work out, okay? So that is my story, and I'm keeping to it. All right, We the Agnostics, page 44. That's step two. So I want you to write step two. Step two. You ready? Now we start rocketing. So all that time to do step one. If you don't think you're an alcoholic now, give it up. You know, leave the house. I'll have dinner for you. I brought a couple homeless people into my house once. He was thrown out of an AA meeting in Sarasota. I stood up. I was just new to the town. I stood up. You should all be effing ashamed of yourself. And I was screaming at the top of my lungs. I dropped down. I grabbed this guy and I was like, come with me. And this drunk's like, you know, I got him like this. I put him in my car. He gets turned down by 3 detoxes in a hospital. So I called my wife, and she's never seen this before. And I said, if I get this guy, I drop him off, he's dead. I said, I know how to handle this. I need to detox him. So she's like, yeah, whatever you need to do. And we bring him into our house, you know. 4 days and 10 pounds later, he's calling up his buddies. You gotta come to this detox. It's great. I got the Italian cooking. I got. His name is Eddie. And Eddie stayed sober for a little while, as long as he's ever stayed sober. And then we have never seen Eddie again. So sure do miss him. But anyway, so we got We the Agnostics. I want you to go down 1, 2, 3, 4 lines from the first paragraph. If when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or if when drinking, you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably an alcoholic. And that's the first time they call you an alcoholic in the big book. If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness, which, circle the word only. Only. Only a spiritual experience will conquer. And how do we get that spiritual experience? Through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and helping others. Okay? All right. It says here on the third paragraph, four lines down. But after a while, we had to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis of life or else what? Or else you're dead. So I look at my sponsor and I said, well, I mean, what's door two? There's another door. So what is it? And he looked at me. He goes, you're hosed. I'm like, hosed what? I mean, I don't believe in God. I'm not going to believe in God. And so what do we do? I'm going like this. He goes, nothing. You drink. And he says, but you're on two. Step 12 states that having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, relax. Let's keep moving through. He didn't say, stop, wait. When you find God, come give me a call. I'd be dead. Okay? Move forward, genius. Let's keep moving forward. That's what we're going to do. Okay? Turn to page 65. Here we go. Page 65, first paragraph. Lack of power. That was our dilemma. We had to find a power which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously, but where and how are we going to find this power? Page 45, excuse me. Page 45, first paragraph. Excuse me. What did I say? So I jumped through to step five. That's fine. And hello? Anybody home? Lights on. No one's home. Page 45, first paragraph. Lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously, but where and how are we going to find this power? They're going to answer it in the next paragraph. It says, well, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main object, remember we talked about a main purpose? What was the main purpose? To show you precisely how we have recovered, right? The main purpose is to show you precisely how we have recovered on XIII. The main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself which will solve your problems. So you have the purpose to show you precisely exactly how you have recovered. You have the object, which is to find a God. So why go anywhere else? Why work our own program? I am not that smart. Maybe you are. I'm not. And I don't want to put that much effort in. I'm fairly much lazy, or else I wouldn't have been an airline pilot. Page 46. I'm going to read the second step promises to you on page 46, which is the second paragraph. It's called the second step promises. Much to our relief, we discovered we had not need to consider another's conception of God. That was like, nah, you know, when I heard that. So it says, our own conception, however inadequate, was sufficient to make the approach to effect the contact with him. As soon as we admitted a possible existence of a creative intelligence, a spirit of the universe underlying the totality of things, we began to be possessed of a new sense of power. Circle it. How could I be powerless if I have just tapped into an unlimited power? How could I be powerless? Seriously, I can't. Because I've tapped into this unlimited power. So it says here, power in direction, provided, here we go with the contingencies, provided we took other simple steps. And what are those steps? The 12 steps. So I have this unlimited power, provided I continue to work the steps, of which I'll show you how to do today in 10, 11, and 12. Make sense? All right. I want you to turn to page 47. Page 47. I want you to write step two around the second paragraph. Second paragraph, page 47. This is considered step two. Now, this is the second step choice that I'm going to ask you. You could say yes, as Peter got down to it in other cases. Whew, that was a tough one. But we'll just use it for alcohol today. Are we ready? Step two. And I ask my sponsors this. I say, we need to ask ourselves but one sure question. I say, do you now believe, or are you even willing to believe, that is there power greater than yourself? And I look at them straight in the eye. And if they say, yeah, I'm ready to move forward, I said, no. My sponsor looked at me. He goes, great. He goes, now you're hosed. And I'm like, will you stop with the hosed thing? What else can we do? He says, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. He says, do you believe that the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous has restored you to sanity for the last 95 days? And I said, yeah, I can do that. He says, good, let's just move forward. He didn't keep me stuck. He knew once I got rid of the fourth and fifth and the ninth step that I was going to get a spiritual awakening. All right? So I say to them then, as soon as a man can say that he does believe or is willing to believe, we emphatically, utmost, assure him that he is on his way to what? Recovery. Spiritual awakening. Absolutely. All right, that's step two. Got it? All right, I want you to turn to page 50. Page 50. Check this out. It says, page 50, third paragraph. On one proposition, however, these men and women are strikingly agreed. Here we go. Check this out. Every one of them agree on this, has gained an access to and believes in a power greater than themselves. This power has, in such cases, accomplished the miraculous, the humanly impossible. As a celebrated statesman put it, let's look at the record. And here we go. This is the second step promises. This is what I called recovered alcoholism. Recovered alcoholism. Here are thousands of men and women, worldly indeed. They flatly declare that since they have come to believe in a power greater than themselves, which is step two, to take certain attitude towards that power, which is step three, and to do certain simple things, steps 4 through 12, there has been a revolutionary change in the way of living and thinking in the face of collapse and despair, in the face of total failure of their human sources. They found that a new power, peace, and happiness and sense of direction flowed into them. This happened, contingent, soon after they wholeheartedly met a few simple requirements, meaning the steps. This stuff just doesn't come to you like you're walking and it's like, dink, whoa. All right, you got to have to do some work. You're going to have to take some action. Does that make sense to everybody? All right, page 51 at the top of the page, if you go down seven lines, page 51, top of the page, seven lines, it says, when many hundreds of people are able to say that the consciousness of the presence of God is today the most important fact of their lives, they present a powerful reason why one should have faith. Now, I'm going over each one of these paragraphs and just highlighting the big stuff, because if you have a problem with God or your sponsee does, you want them to see that, hey, we all had problems with this. This is not a problem. Let's just keep moving forward. And that's what he did with me. And I just kept moving forward because he was moving at the speed of light for me that I was just trying to keep up, that I didn't know what he was doing. But when I actually got to the work and to the action is when all the stuff really started happening. So right now he's really making me feel good that, hey, I'm not a, you know, just an idiot. Page 52. Now, on page 52, second paragraph, this is called unrecovered alcoholism. Are you ready? Now, if I walk into a doctor's office and say this, if he does not put me on Prozac, he is committing malpractice. That's why 8 out of 10 of us are on Prozac. Stop drinking depressants. All right? Maybe you won't be depressed anymore. When I put down the half a gallon a day, things kind of got a little brighter for me. So let's check this out. If you go down on the second paragraph about three lines, it starts off with, we were having trouble. Check this out. This is unrecovered alcoholism. This is a person who has not worked the steps. So if I go into a doctor and say, doc, I'm having trouble with my personal relationships. I couldn't control my emotional natures. I'm a prey to misery and depression. I couldn't make a living. I had a feeling of uselessness. I'm full of fear. I'm unhappy. I couldn't seem to be of real help to other people. If he doesn't put me on Prozac, what is that? That's just a dry drunk, right? That's all it is. Am I right? Were you a prey to misery, depression, couldn't be of use to other? Hell, you locked yourself in a house. So, I mean, we're talking bad, bad, bad stuff, right? So then what do we say? The doctors, here, just take, open your mouth. There you go. Dink. Happy pill. Okay. There are some people who do need chemical balancing. And I've had the pleasure of sponsoring them. And until they got the chemical balancing straightened out, one is a woman and two are men. Once they got that straightened out, they couldn't get that connection. But once they got that and worked a step and help others, oh my God, they're different people. All right? So I don't discriminate against that. There's some people that do need that, but 3 out of 1,000s that I've helped. All right? Most of the other people, I say, okay, listen, you're on this Prozac and I understand that and you keep it. I'm not a doctor. But once you work the steps and you start helping other people to achieve sobriety, please do me a favor. Just wait a little while. And then if you start feeling a little off, which they all do, just go to your doctor. Say, hey, listen, this is the gig. What's going on? How about if we start weaning off? 98% of them are coming off. All right? Because they're doing the steps. They're helping others. And they're getting the spiritual awakening. It's changing their whole lives. Does that make sense to everybody? All right. So it says here in the next paragraph on page 52, which is 1, 2, third paragraph, when we saw others solve solve. They used the word solve their problems by a simple reliance upon a spirit of the universe. We had to stop doubting the power of God. Our idea didn't work, but the God idea did. Got it? So then you got page 53, which is the second paragraph. This is called the second step choice. Let's make this choice together. When we became alcoholic, crushed by self-imposed crisis, that kind of freaked me out. I thought everyone else hosed me. I didn't know that I brought this on myself. Self-imposed crisis, we could not postpone or evade. We had to fearlessly face the proposition that either God is everything or he is nothing. Either God there is or he isn't. What was our choice to be? And whatever they say really doesn't matter to me, okay? Because I know once they finish the steps, it's going to be everything. That's been my experience. But that's the choice. So read that to them. Make them know what they're getting into. My sponsor never held back on the God thing. Never held back on the God thing. He just told me I was hosed if I didn't get it. So I was hustling. All right. Chapter 5, how it works. Doesn't that freak you out? There's actually something here that says how it works. It tells us how it works. How what works? How sobriety works? So they keep it a secret. Ready? Want to hear the secret? Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Rarely. Do you know there was a huge argument, and you see some letters in the archives, the New York City archives actually, between Bill and Bob going from never to rarely, never to rarely, never to rarely. I mean, they really argued about this. Once they got over that and Bill agreed to do rarely, he wrote the rest of the book. He said, that's it. I'm not sending any more over there to be edited. I'll take it from here. That's how much time it took. Okay, rarely, never, rarely, never. So, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Well, I could honestly say, rarely have I seen a person not fail in the last 13 years I've been here. So, what I wanted to find out, what's this path they're all talking about? Wouldn't you want to find that out? If rarely you're going to fail if you thoroughly follow this path, okay, wouldn't you want to find out what it is? Well, this is what I found out in the studies. The path is the big book. And the path is the 12 steps. Okay? That is the actual program of recovery. All right? The icing on the cake is the fellowship. Okay? I get as much. I took over a wrestling team, Fernandina Beach High School wrestling team this year. Well, no, last year, right? This is my first full year with another coach. Retired Navy SEAL guy and also, state champion in wrestling in Pennsylvania. So him and I took it over. And we went and we said, listen, Florida wrestling and Northern wrestling is two different types of wrestling. If we're going to do this, we're going to do it right. We're going to run it our way and we're going to make it happen. And these guys are going to be champs. And we said that. So this is the path that we're going to lead these guys on. Okay. There's 12 guys from our high school that went from 0-15, 0 wins, 15 losses, okay, to 17-2. And 12 of them out of 14 are in the regionals. I just found out that 3 of them are going to the States. Just found out today. 3 guys from our school are going to the States. That's never happened in the whole history of the high school. And all they had to do was thoroughly follow this path that we have experienced. That's it. So if you don't think when I get on stage and talk about business, I'm not hitting them with a bunch of AA, because like almost every time someone comes up to me, hey, are you friend of Bill W's? You know what I mean? I use it in this. I use it in business. I use it in helping children. I use it in everything, okay? The path. Once you find out what the path is, then all of life is pretty simple. The path that these guys were talking about is this right here. The big book, the 12 steps, and the fellowship. The thing that we're paying most attention to in the last 40 years is that. That's why our relapse rate has went to 13%, okay? Does that make sense? We got away from this, the big book and the 12 steps. All right. What I'd like you to do is I'd like you to turn to page 60. I want you to go where after it says A, B, and C, it says being convinced we are at step 3, which is that we decided to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Just what does that mean and just what we're going to do. So circle step 3, showing that this is where step 3 is. So let's be convinced. Ready? So this is what I do to them. I say, okay, let's be convinced. Step 1. Do you believe and do you admit that you're powerless over alcohol and that your life's unmanageable when you're drinking? They're all like, well, that's pretty easy. You just showed me in the last 60 pages. Good. Will you believe right now that there's a power greater than yourself that can restore you to sanity, meaning you're going through a 9-month, you go through a 9-month rehab and you walked across the street and got a drink? That's pretty insane. Not that you're insane people, but that our insanity to alcoholism is just absolutely crazy. Do you believe that this God, that you're going to give your sanity up to him right now? Will you believe that? Yes, absolutely. So we're convinced we're at step three. Yes. I take this very serious. So I turn the page again. I said, good. So let's keep turning to pages. All right. I want you to turn to page 62. So this is what we got to do. On page 62, first paragraph, selfishness, self-centeredness, that we think is our problem. I was like, whoa, 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 cowboy. I thought it was alcohol was my problem. I thought it was my wife was my problem. My kids was my problem. Wasn't that my problem? No, no, no. Selfishness and self-centeredness, that we think is the problem. If that is the problem and that be the truth, then I got to go to paragraph two. It says, so our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. Page 62, paragraph 2. They arise out of ourselves, and the alcoholist is an extreme example of self-will run riot, though he usually doesn't think so. Above everything, whatever above everything means, I think above everything, we alcoholics must be rid of selfishness. We must, or it kills us. God makes that possible. All right? So then it talks in the next paragraph about God being the director, the father, the principal. Right? And on page 63, it says this. At the top of the paragraph, what I want you to do is a box and put third step promises. These are the third step promises on page 63, and I'll read them to you. It says, when we sincerely took such a position that God really is the director, the father, the principal, all sorts of remarkable things followed. We had a new employer being all powerful. Circle powerful. Here we go again. Do not give up your power to these rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. Don't do it. You are all powerful. Believe in yourself. You can do anything you want. I promise you that. Be all powerful. He provided what we needed if we kept close to him and performed his work well. Established on such a footing, we became less and less interested in ourselves and little plans and designs. More and more we became interested in seeking what we could contribute to life. As we felt circle new power, here's more power they're giving to you, new power flow in. As we enjoyed peace of mind, as we discovered we could face life successfully, as we became conscious of his presence, we began to lose the fear of the today, the tomorrow, and the hereafter. We were reborn. Now, what I do is I get the guy on his knees, just like they used to do. Okay? I get the guy on his knees, and would you all join me in the third step prayer? And we say this. Many of us said to our maker as we understood him, God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thy wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. Now, we get up off the knees and they're kind of baffled at this point in time, but they feel like they're moving forward in a positive direction. With me, when my sponsor came over the house, he got on his knees. I'm like, oh, please get up. Oh, you're embarrassing me. Pooping myself, peeing myself in a bar, falling off a bar stool doesn't embarrass me. Having a guy get to his knees in my house, I'm like, oh, turning red. Come on, get up. He goes, will you join me? I said, just get up. I'll join anything you want, anything. I'll join a religious organization. Right? So anyway, he says the third step on his knees, and he says, will you make a decision to turn your will and your life for the care of God? I said, no. And he says, well, okay, cool. He closes the book. I said, where are you going? He goes, you're hosed. We're going on with that hose thing again. Here we go. You're hosed, right? He goes, well, will you make a decision to finish the rest of the steps with me? He totally set me up to this whole thing. I'm like, yeah, I'll do that. That's cool. I could do that. So that's what we did. So we made a decision to finish the rest of the steps, okay? It says here. Now, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to go to the next paragraph after we just read the third step prayer. And it says, we found it very desirable to take this step with an understanding person, such as a wife, best friend, or spiritual advisor, but are better to meet God alone than one who might misunderstand. The wording was, of course, quite optional. I've had a few atheists like me who just didn't want to read it, so I had them write it. Wording's optional. I said, write a third step prayer. The most beautiful thing I've ever read in my life. Okay? So it says it was quite optional. Here, it says, so long as we express the idea of voicing it without reservation, this was only a beginning, circle beginning. 1, 2, 3, drink. 1, 2, 3, drink, right? It's only a beginning. though, if honestly and humbly made, how much more humble are you going to get than on your knees? When you're on your knees, you're pretty darn humble, aren't you? Okay? If honestly and humbly made, an effect, sometimes a great one, was felt. Now, let me tell you a little bit about time frames, because there are no time frames in AA, right?
Hello?
All right. Somebody scream out what the next sentence says.
Next, we launch.
So, my roommate in college, his name was Billy Bear, and myself both got accepted into the military. He went to the Air Force, ended up flying F-15s until 20 years until he retired, and then I was hired to go into the Navy to be a fighter pilot. And so, 2 weeks before I went in to the Navy at a school, I got a job offer from an airline up here, actually. It's out of business, and I can tell you about it, called People Express. Remember them? And so I'm 23 years old on the 727 thinking, woo, 5 flight attendants. Let's make it happen. So so I said, later. You know, I don't want to fly upside down Mach 2 and wear that great white uniform. Anyway, so I went to the airlines. So I called Billy. I get sober. I called Billy. I wanted to know about launched. I wanted to know how fast launched is. He says, dude, you've never experienced anything like being launched. So they're not mixing words here. So do we wait a day? Do we wait a month? No. Okay, good. So it says, next, we launch on a course of vigorous action, which the first step, which is a personal house cleaning. Underneath that, write step 4. So now I want everybody to hold up their package. We all got our package. Guys, don't get gross. We all got a package. You know, I need to use this. I'll give it to you when I'm done. All right. Check your package. Who said that?
Pete, did you say that?
Oh, quiet Pete over there. Get him on a mic. It's like, whoa, who's that guy up there? I love hearing him speak. Okay. Step 1. We went over step 1, correct? If you look at this step 1, you will find everywhere in the book. And if these guys answers these questions out of this book, which gives you the paragraph, the page number, okay, and they don't answer to the satisfaction of absolutely I got the phenomenon of craving, send them home. Or they can stay in. They're just not allowed to sponsor. And you can't show them the handshake, okay? Step two. What I did was I got the page number and the paragraph for the problem, the action, and the solution. My problem was I was atheist, so I figured maybe other people might have a problem with God. Right? So I put everywhere in the big book where people had problems with God, the action they took, and the solution that happened. Is that cool? Next one. Step 3. Got to the knees. Now, you could do this on your head spitting wooden nickels. Right? It's just a Catholic thing. All right? And I got to my knees. And they got to their knees, so I do exactly as they do. Exactly. All right, get to the knees, read the third step. Are we cool? We're all there? So next, we just launched on a course of vigorous action, correct? Let's turn to page 63, which many of us have never attempted. No kidding. Let me look at you. I don't want to look at me. Though our decision was a vital and crucial step, it could have little permanent, forever. Little permanent effect unless how fast? At once, followed by a strenuous effort to face and be rid of the things in ourselves which had been blocking us from whom? God. Our liquor was but a symptom, 1/12 of the problem. The minute we were powerless over alcohol, get over it. Now let's get down to the causes and conditions, okay? So we had to get down to the causes and conditions. I knew I read that somewhere before. Next paragraph. Therefore, we start upon a personal inventory. This is circle step 4. So now they're going to start going over step 4. Are you ready for this? I want you to go down on that page, 1, 2, third paragraph. Resentment. Circle resentment and write, wow, that's pretty cool.
Am I having a,
help me. That needs to go up. No.
That just needs to go up.
Hold that. This just needs to go up. There you go.
Got it. You level?
Now we're level. Okay. What I want you to do is write part 1. Now, the way I have it here, you look in my package. Easy, cowboy. You want to look at my package, right, Bella? No, no, no package. Bad. All right. That's the way. Resentment. Part one. Resentment. I have it all here for you, folks. Resentment. Bill Wilson did not write his four step. He couldn't write. Ebby wrote for him. So what I do is I write the four step for the prospect, my sharing partner, as I call him. Okay? I do it. I get through the junk. I don't care if Susie Lou didn't let you touch your private part when you were five. I want to know the thing. Out of 22 pages of inventory, when I said the thing, that was the only thing I remember. That's the only thing I remember to this day. I don't remember what happened. Neither does my sponsor because he said he fell asleep. All right? So I read 22 pages of inventory. The only thing I remember is the thing. The thing I told him that I'd never tell anybody that happened in Tennessee. And I'll tell you about it. It was bad. It was bad, 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 bad. And I could talk about it now. I've made amends. I'll show you how I did it. Resentment. Okay? Resentment. Let's talk about that for a second. Resentment. So put part one next to resentment. Underline is the number one offender that destroys more alcoholics than anything else. Is that a true statement? When you are totally seething inside when you're pissed off, are you thinking about how you're going to help somebody else? Or are you just going to say, don't just start typing, right? You're just thinking about how you're going to get them back, right? That's what I'm thinking. I don't know about you. I don't think I'm any spiritually different than you, spiritually handicapped. You know what I'm saying? But so the resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. It does. From it stems all forms of spiritual diseases, for we have been not only mentally and physically ill, we have been spiritually sick. When the spiritual malady overcomes, we straighten out mentally and physically. That blew me away. So I look at my sponsor. I said, I'm hosed. He goes, got it. I said, you mean I got to find God first and then I'm going to straighten out mentally, physically. Whoa. I thought that I just stopped drinking and then I just kind of skip and then we kind of do this thing. Nope. He goes, once you find God, the mental and physical will happen. Let me show you how that works. So we have 12 steps, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, right? We have the first three. We have from 4 to 7. We have 8 and 9. Follow me? 1 through 3 are the spiritual. He says, and you failed miserably on that. But there's a 12th step that says having a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. So you're cool. It's just when you get to 12 and you don't get it, then that's it. I mean, you can call me if you want, but just don't call me drunk because you will get drunk. He's from Hoboken. He's one of those guys. So anyway, so spiritual. This is the mental steps. The mental steps are 4 through 7. You're writing inventory. You're looking at grocery handy decaps. You're thinking about all this stuff. You're like, oh my God, you're looking at yourself. But folks, just go through it. I promise you, you'll bust out the other end. I promise you. And then you physically go out and make amends. Follow me? So we have a spiritual, mental, and physical. We have a threefold disease. Now, this right here, 10, 11, and 12, are just 1 through 9 daily, of which I'm going to show you how I do it daily. Got it? So, when he showed me this, I said to myself, well, I could do it now. I mean, I could do this. And then I was like, why do they put that first? They should put that last. And why don't they put this step over here? He goes, yeah, genius. Why don't you rewrite the steps, and we'll just keep moving forward without you. So, this is the way it works, and it worked for me, and I'll tell you how big I got my spiritual awakening. So that's resentment, okay? So you got resentment. It says on page, I want you to go to page 68, page 68, first paragraph. I want you to write big, part two next to the first paragraph. It says, we review our fears. Circle the word fears. So now we're going to go through fear inventory. We're going to go through the fear inventory. And I write it for them. First thing I say to them, what is your biggest fear right now without thinking? I'm not going to stay sober. That's always the big one. Money. Money's always a big one. I'm going to be alone. I'm not going to find God. I mean, it's just the same. It's the same. All right. We all are the same. I can't tell you how many of these I've done. They're all the same. You know? Although when I started helping women through this work with the help of my wife, it's different. It's really different. It made me a better sponsor, a more caring sponsor. Because on guys, I'd be like, get up. Jesus. You know what I mean? Put yourself up by the bootstraps. With women, it's different. And y'all have been through some hellacious stuff. Hellacious stuff. So anyway, we got fears. So we reviewed our fears. It says we put them on paper. Every paragraph says we put it on paper. We don't stand there smoking a cigarette. Whew, did I screw anybody today? Am I pissed off? No. Am I fearful of anything? No. Everything goes down on paper. Wait till you start putting stuff on paper. Wait till you start doing the nightly inventory I'm going to show you. Because when you go to lie to somebody, you're like, oh, I got to go put that on paper. All right? And then when you put it on paper, now you got to go, yesterday I told you something. It's not true. It's a lie. Do that a couple times. Unless you're an idiot, you'll stop at one, maybe two. For me, it was four. Four times. And once I started doing that, I'm like, oh, this just hurts. So the exaggeration had to go away. All that stuff that I thought who I was. Blah, blah, blah. All right? So that's the fear. You got it? That's the fear inventory. Now, what's the next one? I want you to go to the bottom last paragraph. Now about sex. Sex. Here we go. The infamous. The famous. Sex inventory. Got it right here. Okay. Once again, I'm writing this. I'm getting a name. I'm getting a situation, and we're discussing it. And this is normally where the thing is at. 99.9% of the time, the thing is here. All right? Right here. The sex inventory. Be gentle on this. Even the big book's gentle on it, because if you go, it says, many of us needed an overhauling there. Really? You think? No. But above all, we try to be sensible on this question. Now, I want you to go to page 69. And folks, the main reason why it's on 69 is not because what you think in your dirty minds. All right. They moved some Roman numeral pages back, which kind of collapsed the book a little bit. And this just, sex ended up on 69. So, lucky for us. All right, page 69, first paragraph. We reviewed our conduct over the past years. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, and considerate? Whom had we hurt? Did we arouse jealousy, suspicion, bitterness? Where were we at fault? All that is right on the sex inventory sheet. Every question I just asked, okay? What should we have done instead? We got them down on paper and looked at it, okay? If you go to the next paragraph, three sentences down, it says, we ask God to mold our sex ideal and help live up to them. It's not we ask our sharing partner, our sponsor, sponsee, whatever you want to call it. We don't ask them. I mean, you could ask for guidance because it says it here. You can ask for guidance, all right? But where we came up with this not sex after a year or not dating after a year, all of a sudden 366 days and, you know, I'm applying to NASA. I get married or divorced or, you know what I mean? It's just life is life, folks. And if you live in God's world, let's live in God's world. Work the steps. Help others achieve sobriety. Go to meetings. Help AA flourish, then live your life. Now, why do you think this probably came up? Well, we try to escape. You know what I mean? We try to escape through other things, through sex, through eating, through work, which was my gig. All right? So when you're new in there. But if you're working the steps, you're praying and meditating, you're helping others achieve all they could be, and you're going to all you could be, then live your life and have a blast. I swear to God, I am the whipped cream on the ice cream. I am. It's just so great. Life is just, I can't even put it into words. I really can't. I mean, sometimes I just, I was flying back from San Francisco. I was out there for 3 days speaking, and I had some meditation music on. I'm looking out this window, and I'm flying over the Rockies. And I actually like it better in the back than sitting up front. Well, not like I really paid attention up front anyway. But so well, I'm sitting in the back, and I started crying. I got this overwhelming God consciousness, not pink cloud. Not pink cloud. It's a God consciousness I've had for 13 years. And I just said, oh, my God, how beautiful life is. I mean, that people actually pay to hear what I have to say. I mean, not you all, but other people do. I do a little better in my other job. But so they actually pay to hear me what I have to say. Where when I was a kid growing up in Paterson, New Jersey, I mean, I had a bum tell me to leave him alone until I bought him a bottle of Mad Dog 2020 because I talk too much. You know, now I had a senator call me up to Washington to ask what I think. And I'm like, whoa, you know, I've graduated a little bit, you know, from 42nd Street up to the Senate. So what I'm getting at is that you could achieve anything you want to be, anything you want to be. You just have to believe in yourself. Don't get caught up in this AA drudge. I went down the beer aisle. Don't do it. Don't do it. It drives me crazy. I swear to God it does. All right, sex. Anyway, so we talked about sex. Now, go to page 69, and I want you to go to third paragraph. Write part four. Part four, this is the fourth part. This is the, hello, harms done others. Very simple. Who'd you hose? What'd you do? Right? Because it says we made our A-step list when we took inventory. Harms done others. If you go to the third paragraph on page 69, it says, whatever our deals turn out to be, we must be willing to grow toward it. We must be willing to make amends where we have done harms. Circle done harms. This is your done harms inventory list. Now, we do our sex ideal. This is what I do. Okay? We have to look up at our sex ideal. What is it? Right? You don't know what it is. You got to write almost like a business plan. That's what I do. It says it right here. It says, whatever our ideal turns out to be, well, how do I know what my ideal is if I don't write it? So you know what I do? I went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I wrote 10. I put on a legal pad and I wrote, God's coming down and he's going to touch me on my head. And he says, design your mate. Design your perfect mate. And I did. And I went. And of course, with males, it starts off with the looks. And then whatever. The women are like, feelings. I don't think looks ever come into the problem. Thank God for us guys. Right? I got a radio face. Anyway, so what I did is I did that. I did it. And I taped it to my mirror. And I would date somebody. And after a month, I would subject the relationship to that. If it wasn't 6 out of 10, I would move on. Lovingly, of course, I'd say, hey, you know, you want to stay around and have fun and we'll travel. And that's cool, but this is not going to go to where you may want this to go. And a lot of them would say, yeah, let's stay around. Cool. You know, and it never worked out. And then I met Valeria. And Valeria was 9 out of 10. And she did her inventory. I'm 11 out of 11. And our relationship is not love. It's adoring. It's like this. It's the most amazing thing. If we didn't work together, we would never argue. That is weird. Never argue. But we do work closely, and she's VP, and I'm P, and so it's big. Sometimes. Valeria! But we never bring it home because we adore each other, literally. And that's so much above love, okay? You have to believe you're worth it. All right. Then I did this with the job. I did this with my job. I'm flying around, making a whole ton of money, flying every other Tuesday, and I just hated it. And I throw up when I put on my uniform, and I hated it. I mean, my mother's saying, you can't quit. What are you, crazy? And all you were saying, are you crazy? And 100 people telling you crazy? What are you thinking? You're crazy. And then September 14th, 2001, I'm flying on Jet Airway 1 past the World Trade Center. I looked at my first officer. I said, I'm out. He goes, did they just take you off the trip? I said, nope, I quit. I said, what? Yeah, whatever, you know, because it takes so much to get to that level. And I said, I'm done. I'm out, man. I don't want to do it anymore. But I kept my expenses and I kept my life to where I could live on $40,000 a year. Unlike my other friends who got the big houses, the big wives, the big kids, the big boats, the big Harleys. You know, I had the 900 square foot condo and, you know, an 89 Buick. And I was fine. You know, I'd buy an Amtrak train station instead of a big house. You know what I mean? And I put a business in there. Do you see what I mean? So I kept fiscally responsible, which is also part of the steps, for me at least, and that's what I teach. So I had true freedom, didn't I? True freedom, so I can get up and go, I'm out of here. And I did. I got up and I left the airlines, and I've never been more happy in my entire life because of this. But first thing I had to do was design my perfect job, and I designed it, and guess what? It's here. I have it. I live it. Perfect wife, right there. Perfect job. Right here. This is great stuff. This is true. So how am I powerless? I have unlimited amounts of power, don't I? You're probably thinking, this guy is smoking crack. Or he's full of shit. All right, so I want you to do one thing for me, page 69, last paragraph, and this is huge. God alone can judge our sex situation. Counsel with persons is often desirable, but let circle God be the final judge, okay? Let God be the final judge, please. You know, love comes in many manners, whether you're gay, not gay, it doesn't matter. I mean, love is love is love is love is love. And if it's experience what I experience with my wife, then how could I say yours is wrong? You know, whether you're 9 months sober, 3 months sober. Suggestion, work the steps, help others, then live your life and have a blast. Fall on your face, get back up, try it again. When I'm walking around that mat, I say to these kids, I'm screaming at the top of my lungs. I'm saying to them, success. You know what success is? A champion is doing something when no one else is watching. That's real success. Real success is doing something when no one else is watching, right? I bust my ass, and so does she, to get to where we are today. 7 days a week, nonstop. But now we are where we are today, and we can start pulling back and share all this with you, right? That's the true meaning of success, doing something when no one else is watching. The prayer, the meditation, the written 10-step, when you're totally exhausted, okay? But then you get this. Not a crazy guy standing up front talking to you, but I mean you get spiritual. Some guy's like, I don't want that. Okay? All right. Now we're on steps 5 through 11, and we're going to zip through this. We're way ahead of schedule. I got 10 minutes. All right, let's do it. Steps 5 through 11. Let's turn to chapter 6 into action, then we're going to take a 15-minute break. Okay, we got 10 minutes, and we're way ahead of schedule. All right, so it says here, chapter 6 into action. At the top, I want you to write steps 5 through 11. Here we go. Wait till you see this. This is great stuff. It says, having made a personal inventory, what shall we do with it? We have been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator. So that's what we've been doing here. By doing the 4-step and the 3rd step, by looking at our inventory, we've been trying to get a connection with God, of which I did not get at the 5th step. I got it at the 9th, and I'll explain that to you. It says, and to discover the obstacles in our path. We have admitted to certain defects. We have ascertained in a rough way the troubles is. We have put our finger on the weak items in our personal inventory. What's the next word? Circle now. How fast is now? Now? Vinny's giving me the nod. That's the New York Brooklyn nod. So that means now, immediately, or blow your brains out. No. That's now. Now. Okay? They don't mince words. Now, these are about ready to be cast out. This requires action on our part, which, when completed, will mean that we admitted to God, to ourselves, and another human being the exact natures of our defects. This step brings us to step 5. 5th step. 5th step. Circle it. Now, I want you to go to the next paragraph, and I want you to go down 9 lines, and it's going to say the best reason first. Check this out. I'm going to tell you a little story, and then we're going to take a break. Best reason first. Best reason first. Best reason first, why to do step 5. Are you ready? Now, these people did not mince words. They knew we were liars, cheaters, and thieves, and we were going to hold on to the thing, didn't they? So 9 times, and I'm going to write them all down, 9 times they're going to say, are you sure? You've told me everything? Are you sure? So I go see my sponsor. I got 22 pages. The thing's not on it. Ain't happening. I am not giving it up. I'm not giving up the thing. So he looks at me. He goes, the best reason first, Doug, why we're going to do this is, says, if we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. I'm like, I heard that, you know. 1, 2, 3, drink. You know, I'm trying to be like, you know, suave over there. And he looked at me like, yeah. Okay, so he goes, then time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. And he writes down one. He goes, I swear to God, he was looking right through me. You're not holding anything back, right? Oh, no, Greg, no. I looked him straight in the eye and lied. No. Good. He says, trying to avoid this humbling experience. He says, you're not trying to avoid this humbling experience. You're telling me everything. I'm getting a little nervous. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, pal. I got you covered. I got your back. Good. They have turned to easier methods. Are you turning to an easier method and leaving something off? I'm like, why do you keep saying that to me? Don't you trust me? I'm cool. He goes, I can care less. He goes, but your chances are way less than average, if you are. I just want to know. He says, almost invariably, he says, do you know what that means? He always used to call me genius. You know what that means, genius? Yeah, almost always. Okay. Almost invariably, they got drunk. I just wanted to tell you that. Having persevered with the rest of the program, they wondered why they fell. We, the first 100, think the reason is they never completed their house cleaning. He says, are you completed with the house cleaning? There's everything here, right? Before I even open it, there's everything here? Yeah. Good. He says, okay, let's go down a couple lines. He says to me, four lines. He says, but they had not learned enough humility, fearlessness, and honesty in the sense we find it necessary until they told someone else. And he says, this is squiggly lines for you, genius. All their life story. He says, you're telling me your whole life story, aren't you? You're not holding anything back. Hyperventilation, sweat's pouring down. I'm like this. Nope, I'm not holding anything back. He goes, good, go to the bottom of the page. He says, we must be entirely honest with somebody if we expect to live long and happy in this world. He says, you could be honest with me, fully honest with me. You're not holding anything back. I said, nope. No, I'm going to be honest with you. And now I'm thinking, what do I do? I don't know what to do. I really don't. I'm getting scared. I'm starting to tear up. I don't know what to do. So he says, well, let's just go to page 75. Now, I want you to box in the first paragraph because this is step five. So on page 75, it says, when we decide to hear our story, we waste how much time? Time frame. No time, right? So he goes, and you're here. You just did the fifth. You came right over my house. So he says, so we're working on that. That's good. We have written an inventory. We're prepared to take a long talk. I normally give about an hour because I can get through the garbage really quick because I'm writing it for them. I just want to know the thing. Really? Really? It says, we explain to our partner what we're about ready to do and why we have to do it. He should realize that we're on a circle this, life and death errand. You're on a life and death errand. It is my honor to do this fifth step on your life and death errand. It's my honor. Think about that. You are giving me your life. Is that great? So I said, he said, most people approaching this way will be glad to help. They will be honored in our confidence. He says this. We park our pride and go to it. Park our pride and go to it. Eliminating every twist of character. Seven. Are you eliminating every twist of character? I said, well, you know, when someone starts off like that, I'm like, gotcha. I said, well, you know, yeah, I got it. Now I'm looking at the table. I'm just like I'm reading the big book, you know, one of these things. He says, okay, that's cool. He says, every dark cranny of the past. I said, yeah, I'm doing every dark cranny of the past. He says, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to say it one more time. And if you surely do have everything, then you're a great liar and you're going to get drunk or you're telling me the truth. So either way, you know, we'll figure out what's going to happen here and we'll see who's telling what, right? So now I'm shaking and he says, once we have taken the step withholding nothing. And he looked at me, he goes, you're not withholding anything. And I went, yes, Knoxville, Tennessee, it was 1989. It was this girl. And I went off, and I went off, and I went off, and I told him about the situation. I wasn't going to tell anything about this girl who I totally harmed. And then when I was done, I was like, I looked at him, and I was waiting for his response. And that's when he told me his thing. And I said, you're sick. You know what I mean? And I couldn't believe, and I don't remember the rest. I don't remember the rest. That's how important that fifth step is. Make sure they get that thing out. That is the thing, okay? That is the thing. And I'll tell you how I made amends on the ninth step for that ungodly thing that I did. Ungodly thing. I changed so many women's life by making that one nasty, miserable mistake, all right? So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break here. And, yeah, we'll take a you go on another tape. Yeah. No, that's right. Let's come back at 4:15 because we're way ahead of schedule. This is great stuff. Thanks, folks.